All right. What do you suppose the most important skill in spying is? Listening. What do you suppose the second most important skill in spying is?
Listening.
Typing. I am not James Bond. I've carried a gun. But let me tell you something. For every hour of agent meeting, you've got 4 hours of typing. And if you're handling a terrorist live, you have to do what's called, I said, he said, transcripts, and you're the only one that can do them, and that is a bitch. Because with a terrorist, you usually end up having a 4 to 8 hour meeting because it's so hard to get in and out. And so you end up having to transcribe that 4 to 8 hours over 2 to 3 days. It is a real pain in the ass. We didn't have IBM's voice thing at the time. This was back in the mid-80s. So listening and typing are the two most important skills. Now, spying consists of spotting, assessing, recruiting, handling, and terminating, which means a cash settlement, not execution. Although we have terminated with extreme prejudice, which does stand for murder. I haven't done it. But basically, spotting in theory, in any given country, you're supposed to be looking for things that are really important to national security. That's not what actually happens. Across most of the world, even up to today, although today Iraq is just consuming everything, but across most of the world, we've had stations in Africa and elsewhere primarily because that was the easiest way to get a Soviet to drink booze with us. And so spying has been mostly about drinking with Soviets. Okay. I'll tell you what, you don't ever want to drink with a Soviet. I mean, I never did it because it was so disgusting, but the recommended protocol is to eat a bar of butter first. It works, I'm told, but it's not something I want to do. I'd just rather get drunk and fall asleep. But anyway, that's the main reason the clandestine service existed, to chase Soviets. We didn't give a shit about what was happening in Africa. We didn't give a shit about Hutu and these other ethnic divisions. We didn't even give a shit about internal policies that were extremely corrupt and committing genocide. I mean, you know, how can 18 genocides go on in this world and the United States public, the United States Congress, the United States White House thinks it has other priorities? How can Lake Powell in Arizona go down by 200 meters and Las Vegas is about to lose water? They're talking about selling the Mojave Aquifer to Los Angeles. Okay. Las Vegas is going to burp in 5 to 7 years and be out of water. This is what I would call a real estate disaster. Okay. Nobody's paying attention to this. Actually, I love the movie, this ICE movie, Climate Change. I've invited them to speak at my next conference. We're really not serious about not only global warming, but global freezing. We're not serious about controlling bacteria. We are going to have plagues in the United States. We are going to have a lot of these troubles. So spotting is you're supposed to kind of say, okay, let's say I want to penetrate the New York City mayor's office. The first thing I want to do is figure out who works there. And I want to figure out who the key people are. Who are the key communicators that handle every piece of paper that goes into the mayor? Who's his scheduler? Who are the people with vulnerabilities? And so you do a lot of homework on these people. And you recruit what are called access agents. So let's say you want to get into the mayor's office. Maybe you start with getting that really great-looking blonde that's covering the mayor's office for the New York Times. Actually, they're probably too well paid for some rag. You know, someone who could use an extra $1,000 a month. And you say, look, you know, I'm false, and this is called false flagging. You say, I represent a major corporation that is trying to get a contract with the city. I'd like your help in understanding the mayor. Okay, that's how it starts. And once they get used to the $1,000 a month and you're real nice to them and, you know, they get used to committing treason. And I think that's how we do it. So spotting, assessing, recruiting. Recruiting is basically dressing it up in a way that's acceptable to them. You understand the person well enough so you can make a pitch that they'll accept. most people can accept money in return for betraying an employer, by and large, especially if you make them think that it's being done in a way that doesn't actually conflict with their own ideals and whatnot. And this is why we like false flags so much, or what are called commercial recruitments. And then handling, in theory, handling includes asking them the right questions, getting to and from meetings without being seen, various sources and methods for capturing their information in a way that it can be destroyed if you're arrested. One of the problems with CIA is it's lazy about security. Its case officers don't live cover, they live immunity. They all carry diplomatic passports, so that the worst that will happen to them is they'll be thrown out of the country. Occasionally, they'll get beat up. In Russia, they like to beat us up first. You use these people, you use access agents to put in technical devices. For example, in the overhead of a minister's office, or in the back seat of his car when it's at a service station. But a lot of this technical stuff doesn't work. You have what's called a path loss distance, about 100 meters, 200 meters, and if you cannot get out beyond that path loss distance, you start to lose your tactical. However, because fiber and all these other things are, NSA is starting to go deaf, so close in remote is getting popular, which is to say putting stuff in to specific tactical locations so that you can capture the unencrypted conversation before it goes into an encrypted system. That's very labor-intensive. It's a lot easier to read newspapers.